There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
From the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Stadium, this is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special. Live at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
Hey, we've got live action on centre court at the very moment. The women's doubles final is currently underway. It's going with a serve at present, so we'll keep an eye on that one for you throughout proceedings. But finals day has finally arrived, and we are underway with action out there on centre court. Getting ready, though, Danny Norton for the singles final. This is not before 7 o'clock, is that right?
7 o'clock. It's due to get underway on the court down here as well. And wonderful atmosphere already starting to build up, as you would expect down here as well. So really can't wait for this one. Petra Kvitova taking on Belinda Bencic. I think this got the making of a classic final. We've had some tremendous matches down here this week. Some real great, thrilling three-set action that's taken us well into the depths of the night. And it wouldn't surprise me if we see another three-setter this evening anyway. I think, obviously, Petra Kvitova, the second seed, will be favourite for this one, but don't write off Belinda Bencic. She's already beaten Simona Halep, the world number two and third seed, and then the two-time defending champion Elena Svitolina in that semi-final last night as well. So she's going to be full of confidence. Really cannot wait for this final tonight. I think it's going to be a cracker.
No further goals to bring you up to date with as yet. We will do as and when that happens. Maybe some wickets, Mark Archer?
Yeah, let me bring you a score update from Sharjah. Two matches today in the Pakistan Super League. The late kickoff, or the late start down in Sharjah, is Karachi taking on Islamabad. The match that's underway, with only four balls remaining of their innings, Lahore taking on Quetta Gladiators. They're 138 for 7. AB de Villiers 44 not out. It's been a measured knock by him so far. So they've got four deliveries remaining to make a score there. That's Lahore batting first. And let me just mark your cards, because it's not all about tennis down here at the Irish Village. There is rugby galore coming on later, Tom. It's a rugby fest. And if you're a Six Nations fan, action gets underway at 6:15. That match will see... First match in Paris. It's France hosting Scotland. And, of course, 8:45, big kickoff in Cardiff, where Wales will face England. Grand Slam aspirations will end for one of those two teams. So big rugby taking place, 6:15 down here, and also 8:45. So get down, you can feel the atmosphere in the stadium with the tennis, and if you want to pop out and see what's happening with the rugby, you can also do that. So it's a place to be this afternoon if you're a sports fan.
That is a very nice segue into the conversation we're about to have, because that whole idea of the village mentality, the village atmosphere that we were talking about down here with Dave Katanak and Clark Francis just a few moments ago, is something that really is encouraged by all the team at Dubai Duty Free. We've heard from a number of representatives from DDF in the last couple of days. It's wonderful now to be joined live from our broadcasting booth by the Chief Operating Officer at Dubai Duty Free. Ramesh Kadambi joins us live from our broadcast position. Ramesh, thanks for being with us.
Thanks very much, Tom, and it's absolutely great to be here on Saturday evening, and with the doubles finals, as you said, kicking off a couple of minutes ago, and all of us anticipating the singles final at 7 p.m.
There's something very special, isn't there, about finals day? I mean, not just the fact that Dave Katanak's wearing a tie today, but there's a lot that's very special today, isn't there?
Absolutely, and we have sort of, for us, today is the climax of 6 days of tennis this time, because we had the bigger draw with the P5 event and 64 players. We've had fantastic matches throughout the week, and we are really thrilled to see Belinda Bencic's progress through the tournament. She has three amazing matches, you know, with Sabalenka and against Svitolina and Simona. So, and she has maintained her sort of level of intensity, you know, through the tournament. So very excited to see her play Kvitova, whom, as you know, was a finalist in 2013 and is having a very good year. And it's very exciting. And on the doubles front, also we are thrilled that Shea Suve is in the finals. She played a very tough match last evening and then played the doubles. So it's great that she has had an opportunity to try for a title on the doubles side.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because this is a tournament that always throws up a story or two along it. And I think Shuai has certainly been one of those stories this week. Her progress through the singles, the fact that she's made it into the... Yeah. And you saw what it meant to her last night as well after that far, hard-fought semi-final, almost reduced to tears on her way out of the stadium, which really sort of proved what it means to all these players, regardless of what your ranking on the tour.
Yeah, absolutely. I think all of the players, and we saw from the matches during the week, they left everything on court.
Yeah.
And in the Benchik match yesterday, for example, we would have been sad for either of them to lose because they played really hard. And similarly, what happened in the Shusewe match. No?
Absolutely. Just to give you an update as well, by the way. So it's going actually quite well for Sun Tzu-shui so far in this doubles final as well. They're already a break up, her and her partner Barbara Strykova, who are now three games to love up against Makarova and Hradecka. Just talking about some of the names that you've mentioned here, every single year it's a tremendous draw, tremendous names of tennis stars that we get here. But this year just seems to be at another level, nine out of the top ten women's players. We heard from the guys earlier on about the kind of atmosphere that draws in so many fans here. What is it, do you think, that about this tournament, the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships, that brings so many star players from around the world? What's the appeal for them, do you think?
I think the first and the foremost appeal is of Dubai as a city. Dubai is an amazingly attractive destination, and Dubai as a city has fantastic name recognition throughout, and the tournament itself has won best tournament awards multiple times in the last 27 years. So I think the attractiveness of Dubai, the reputation of the tournament, and all the work that Mr. McLaughlin, Nasala, Shinid, and all of us put in the tournament in terms of the hospitality, in terms of looking after the players, keeping the players' interests at heart, and creating this atmosphere here that you referred to earlier with the Century Village, the Irish Village, the Jumeirah Creekside Hotel, the stadium, all of it working together to create this sort of carnival atmosphere. And that's what I think the players like, and the players love coming back here. And every single player that we speak to always has a wonderful time, and at the players' party, at all the different things that they do during the week. And I think it's a testament to the city of Dubai.
Ramesh, one of the things I love about the tournament is how many of the staff, whether it be the management and the employees of Dubai Duty Free, get involved in the week. Not just the week of the event, but obviously the months and months of preparation that go on. What I'm wondering is, who's selling all the chocolates at the airport?
Sometimes I think that we're selling the chocolates in our spare time. No, I'm just kidding. For Dubai Duty Free, as the owners and the organizers of the tournament, it's really great for us to have our senior management team, and our employees and everybody involved in the tournament, because not many people realize that we are not just the principal sponsor or the title sponsor of the tournament, but we are also the organizers of the event. So all of us have roles in the retail business, as I would call it, and we have roles in the tournament itself, and I think it makes for employee participation. It makes it very interesting for the employees to do something else besides their day-to-day job on the retail side of our business.
It is very unique. We've seen so many different sports come into the UAE, not just in Dubai, but in Abu Dhabi, whether it be golf events. We've seen a lot of football here recently. Obviously, the tennis is fantastic. But it's very unique in the sense that the staff is so engaged in the tournament. There's a lot of professional sports executives that now come in from operations and events and marketing and sales and media, etc. But it must be a great opportunity for some of the staff to really broaden their horizons and get some different experience and really get involved with it, with a big sporting event.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that Mr. McLaughlin, since the start of the tournament and 27 years ago, has emphasized, that we do as much of the things in the tournament ourselves as possible and employ technical expertise, of course, from other entities as needed, and some of them are also mandatory. For example, the relationship with the WTA, the relationship with the ATP, in terms of issues like scheduling of matches, and various sort of very technical aspects of it. But many of the front-facing aspects of the tournament, meeting the fans, ushers, greeting the people, organizing the box office, and even aspects of security, we try and take care of it ourselves. And it's really a great opportunity for the employees to be involved in the event.
What about the relationship then between Dubai Duty Free and sport as a whole? Because I know for decades, really, you guys have been involved in sport at a grassroots level here in Dubai in the UAE, not just with the tennis tournament that we have here. And then even further afield, when you look over to Europe, to Ireland, to the UK, when it comes to racing and golf. Why is it? Why do you put so much emphasis on this relationship with sport?
It really comes back to a mission statement. A mission statement are two lines when we started in December of 1983. The first line said, provide a first-class service to passengers using the airport, which we try and do every day in our retail business. 36,000 square meters, 180 shops, and a $2 billion business last year. But the second line of the mission statement was to promote the city of Dubai and Dubai International Airport. because our belief was that if you promote the city and if you promote the airport, then the business will come in terms of the retail business. So the promotional aspect of it is what led us to be involved, you know, with everything from water skiing, you know, karate, snooker, you know, the tennis, the horse racing, the golf. But all of this really comes back to a mission, which is to promote the city of Dubai and position it and continue to strengthen its position as the premier leisure and sports and business destination in the Middle East.
We will let you get back to the tennis in just a few moments, yeah. Ramesh. Another stellar event this year. Big thanks to you and all the team at Dubai Duty Free. And one of the things I love about this is you mentioned there about the atmosphere, yeah. The village atmosphere. Is that something that you look to create with the team, that even if you haven't got the golden ticket to get yourself into Centre Court, you can come down and be part of the atmosphere?
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. And that's something that we really encourage the fans to experience. You know, we want people to come here to experience the hospitality in the Century Village, in the Irish Village, the new outlets that we have, the hotel, and just experience this atmosphere, because we want people to come, and even if they have not watched tennis before, or even if they have watched it very sporadically, we want them to come here to hear a little bit of the story around the tennis stars that we have, and maybe they'll get interested as fans, and maybe they'll buy a ticket and go in and watch a couple of hours of the tournament. We understand fully that in Dubai there are many, many alternatives in terms of entertainment. And a tournament like this, where you have 5,000 seats capacity in the center court, which runs for 2 weeks, which is probably the longest running sports event in Dubai in terms of duration, it's difficult to sustain the event purely on with the support of your hardcore tennis fans. So you need people who are moderately interested, somewhat interested, to come and just have a good day. And I think the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships and other events in Dubai, such as the golf, are trying very hard to do the same thing and make it an entertaining day for family and for people to just come and experience one part of the city.
Women's Week comes to a conclusion this evening. Then, of course, we have a couple of hours rest, and then we're straight into the Men's Week as well. Is that looking like it's going to be another classic for Dubai Duty Free?
I think absolutely. I think the Men's Week will be amazing. You know, we have the top seeds. You know, we have, you know, Nishikori, you know, headlining the tournament. We have Roger Federer. We have Cilic. You know, we have Koric. We have Kachanov, and Tsitsipas, of course. You know, who's played really well in the last 12 months. When he came to Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships last year in February, barely anybody recognized him. And in just 12 months' time, his career has absolutely taken off, and he's got the reputation of being a giant killer. So I think the men's week will be tremendous, you know, in the starting on Monday.
We will be hearing from a few of those men who are already in town for that in just a little while. Ramesh, to you and all the team at Dubai Duty Free, we can't thank you enough, and thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Thank you very much for doing this at the booth and live, you know, at the tennis stadium, and you guys really add to the experience of the fans here, and they're all smiling when they pass by your booth. And best of luck to you for the rest of the week.
I think that's to do with our faces for radio, you know. They're suddenly, oh no, look at what he looks like, you know. Ramesh, good on you. Thank you so much indeed. Listen, we were talking there about the final. It's coming up a little later on. Petra Kvitova is into the final. Will she be making it her second title down here? She sat down with Robbie Greenfield at the beginning of the week to look ahead to the week.
I do have the best memories from this tournament, from this venue that I won it here 1 year. And it was a great run for me, and I really enjoyed the time. And I'm enjoying the city as well, so I'm really happy to be back here. I missed it last year, so I'm happy to be here now. Of course, that I'm very pleased. I mean, I couldn't imagine having better start to the season as I had. So I'm very happy for that, for sure. I was you know, waiting for that moment for a very long time, and I reached the final of the Grand Slam, so for me it was a brilliant start of the year.
This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special, live at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
Broadcasting live from the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships, you're listening to Dubai Eye 103.8. It's a Saturday afternoon, and it is The Grill. We're live here at the Tennis Village area of Century Village Aviation Club, Jumeirah Creekside Hotel, Dubai National Tennis Stadium. Give it all the names, give it all the titles. We're down here. Come on down, it's free to get in. Come and be part of proceedings. Let's get around the world and the world of... We're just talking about golf there, and Dubai Duty Free's commitment to golf worldwide. Interesting times down in Mexico at the moment. Mark Archer.
Is indeed WGC, World Golf Championship weekend. It's the Mexico Championship, and the ball is flying absolute miles there at the high altitude down in Mexico City. It's the big hitters that seem to be dominating, Tom. It's Dustin Johnson with two bogey-free rounds in his first 36 holes. He is leading at 11 under par with rounds of 64 and 67. He has a two-shot lead from everyone's favourite Northern Irishman, Rory McIlroy, at 9 under par, who had a first round of 63, followed that with 70 overnight. So he's at 9 under par with the American Matt Kuchar. Two shots further back is Sergio Garcia and Tommy Fleetwood at 7 under par. So Dustin Johnson has a two-shot lead. Notable other scores of the other big-name players in this event. Tiger Woods, well, he's doing pretty well. He's tied for 8th, 5 under par. Francesco Molinari at 4 under par. He's tied for 13th. Justin Thomas is back at 3 under par. Brooks Koepka is 1 over. And then the combination of Lee Westwood, Ricky Fowler and John Rahm are all at 2 over par. So Dustin Johnson has a two-shot lead. Let's have a quick listen after his second round score of 67.
I've hit a lot of fairways, hit a lot of greens. I felt like my speed's been pretty good with the putter. You know, the greens are really tricky, and they had some really tough flags today. But, I've just done a really good job with controlling my distance with my irons and, you know, giving myself a lot of looks at birdies.
Remember a couple of years ago when you won, you said you really like the golf course, but you had only seen it that 1 week. Here you are playing again. What is it about this venue that suits your game so well?
I just enjoy playing this kind of golf. I mean, it makes you focus. You got to think, and you know, you're doing a lot of calculations with the numbers, and you know, trying to figure out how far the ball is going to actually go. So, I enjoy it, and yeah, I like this golf course. It does set up well for me. It's pretty narrow, but you know, it's tree lined, so I do like that.
That's what's been happening in the world of golf. We'll have more golf news for you before the end of the show. Let's go to the Premier League now, if we can, because it's half-time, I understand. Danny Norton.
It certainly is, yes. The early kick-off in the Premier League is at Turf Moor. Burnley welcoming Tottenham Hotspur to their stadium up in the northwest of England. It's goalless at half-time as well. Tottenham with most of the ball, but Burnley defending well. The big news from the match so far is that Tottenham welcome back the talisman Harry Kane into the starting 11 for the first time in around about a month following his injury. They've been in great form since then, but so have Burnley. So no surprise, really, I suppose, that it's a stalemate so far. Not many chances, really. I suppose the biggest incident from the first half was when Hendrick for Burnley cleared out Danny Rose on the touchline. Rose was that unhappy about it. He had a bit of a sit-down protest, which I suppose kind of went against him because it played into the hands of the home crowd at Turf Moor, and he's kind of turned into the pantomime villain since then. That's probably the moment which is the most talked about moments from the first 45 there. Not much else to discuss. I suppose Burnley will be the happiest from that so far. So 0-0 at Turf Moor so far.
Well, good news. Not much to talk about there, which gives me a perfect example to ask you what happened last night in the Premier League.
It was a busy night last night in football. Just to give it a bit of a roundup as well, actually, it was busy all across Europe. In Spain, Espanyol and Huesca drew 1-1. It was the same scoreline in Germany between Werder Bremen and Stuttgart. And AC Milan beat Empoli 3-0. And in France, Saint-Etienne won 1-0 at Dijon, while Strasbourg versus Lille ended in another 1-1 draw. But like you say, there were a couple of games in the Premier League last night, and obviously your men will be very happy because they beat Fulham 3-1, your men being West Ham, of course. Anyway, that took place at the London Stadium, but there was a bit of controversy as Javier Hernandez equalised using his hand. Now, initially it did look as though he headed the ball in. It took a couple of different kind of replays for it to be confirmed that he had used his hand there, but with no VAR in the Premier League yet, there's nothing that could be done about it, really. So Fulham happened to make do with it and just take their complaints to the people afterwards, to the journalists after the game. And now let's hear from Ryan Babel. He scored the opening goal for Fulham in last night's game, and he says that despite their fast start, they'll be making cheap goals are really starting to break Fulham's spirits.
You know, every time we start very exciting, everybody's hungry, and then I feel like we give away, you know, very cheap goals, and that kind of you know, breaks our spirit very, very quick and very easy. You know, not only today, like also the previous game since I've been here, I feel like the goals we concede are, like, in my opinion, we don't deserve to concede them, but obviously we concede them because of a reason, and yeah, we really have to try and change that as soon as possible.
So that was Fulham striker Ryan Babel. Let's hear now from their manager Claudio Ranieri, who says they will never give up and it's important for them to stay together following that 3-1 defeat at West Ham last night. Just a reminder, Fulham, they are now 8 points off safety. They're in 19th position in the Premier League, so it's not looking good. But Ranieri, he's saying they're going to fight on.
It's unbelievable. We start very well with the great chances. We miss a great chances, but after we score a goal. They were very, very dangerous in the corner. It was normal with the tall players. And it was a very pity the referee was undercovered with the players. He didn't see the first goal of Chicharito was on ball. And after, the West Ham increased more. Move the ball very quickly, and we go. I don't know if we were a little scared. No, we were. Why? We started very well, continued to play. And the second half was much better. We were in control of the ball, but without do something good.
I think it's fascinating there that he's using that word scared, because, I mean, you mentioned at the start of the show before talking about things like form and momentum and so on and the impact it has, and I suppose it's having that negative impact on Fulham now, isn't it? I think they've been quite unlucky in a lot of the games that I've seen them in recently, where I feel like they should have had more points that they've garnered. But it's maybe that, like you mentioned before, Arch, when maybe decisions are going against you. We saw that one last night, and it kind of gets in your psyche a little bit, and it's a kind of a snowball effect, essentially, really, isn't it? And
I think the thing with Fulham and watching them, and I've got a number of mates who are Fulham fans, is that they were so strong in the Championship, came up.
Spent some money as well.
Spent
a lot of cash.
A bit of money, but not a huge amount of money.
Over £100 million, you know.
For a couple of marquee players, but they didn't strengthen in certain positions. And they sold a couple of players as well. Ryan Fredericks, who came on for West Ham second half yesterday, was obviously one of the guys who was standout for them last season. They let him go. The only thing that I think is that, you look at the class of someone like a Mitrovic and Ryan Babel, who's come in and made an instant impact. It's all good and well being dominant or having that firepower in that end of the field or that degree of the field, but they are leaking goals, and that's a big problem. And their goalkeeper, they've had such a nightmare with goalkeeper. This is their third goalkeeper since the beginning of the season, I think. And a couple of those goals last night he was at fault.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and the problem as well is like I say, they're now 8 points adrift of safety. That's despite Cardiff, who are currently in 17th position. That kind of, I suppose, like that aim that they all have at the bottom of the table to at least be there to not get relegated. They lost 5-1 last night, and yet they've still got this kind of gap to Fulham. At least Southampton are just a point behind Cardiff at the moment. But still, for Fulham to be that cut adrift, you've got to wonder, even though Ranieri, like we just heard from there, saying they're going to keep on fighting, it's all very well saying that, but if you're a player and you're looking at that table, it just looks like a gargantuan task to ask them to save themselves with just, 11 games to go now in the Premier League season.
Quick word for Watford as well, though. What a season they're having.
Incredible. Gerard De La Feo with a hat-trick last night. They're up to 7th in the table now. They're on 40 points after 27 plays. They're a point above Wolverhampton Wanderers, who can go above them again later on this evening there. But just tremendous job done by Javi Gracia so far there.
Quarterfinals of the FA, are they?
Yeah, they are. They're in the last eight of the Emirates FA Cup as well. So, and just a tremendous performance, even though Cardiff is struggling. To win 5-1 away at Cardiff, I think it's quite a result, because Cardiff, it's a tricky place to go. I know it's a bit of a cliche when you're talking about teams fighting for their lives, but still, to go there and put in that dominant a performance, I think speaks volumes of how well Watford have done so far this year.
You're listening to Dubai Armour 3.8. This is The Grill, albeit a bit different. We are live from the village today, live at the Dubai Jiu-Jitsu Free Tennis Championships, as we will be next week round about the same time as well for the men's finals. Building up to the women's final, not before 7 o'clock this evening. We take a short break when we come back. Build up of the rugby.
This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special, live at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
You're listening to Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships, the Dubai Police Marching Band making their way past us at the moment as we prepare for the final. So plenty to look forward to down here live from the tennis. Hope everyone's enjoying it. Do keep your thoughts coming in. Text us now on 4001 at Dubai I1038 FM if you'd like to have your say. What's happening in the football? Let's get around the grounds with our man Danny Norton.
Yeah, we're just kicking off in the second half now between Burnley and Tottenham. This is the English Premier League's early kick-off today up in Turf Moor. It's goalless at the moment, but Spurs getting off to quite a fast start to the second half as they really try and pressure Burnley, because they're looking to get the 3 points to move them within 2 points of table-topping Manchester City. They've also got quite a strong bench as well to turn to: Lucas Moura, Fernando Llorente and Eric Lamella, the attacking players to choose from. They'll be interested to see if and when Mauricio Pochettino turns to them, if Burnley continue to hold out so far, but they are doing so. It remains goalless as we're just a few minutes into the start of the second half. There's also an early game over in Spain's La Liga. Getafe taking on Rayo Vallecano. There's about 10 minutes left in that one. I can tell you that it's Getafe 2, Rayo Vallecano 1. Jaime Mata putting the home side in the lead after half an hour before Raul de Thomas pulled one back for the visitors, but then Vidal scored around about 10 minutes ago to reestablish the advantage for Getafe there. And like I say, just under 10 minutes to go remaining in that one over in La Liga.
We're going to talk Six Nations in just a few moments' time in some detail, but before all that, there is the small matter of club rugby ongoing at the moment. Mark Archer, score update.
There is indeed. Yeah, let's start down under with some Super Rugby scores from early today, and there is a live match underway in Durban. A couple of results that came in earlier this morning, Tom. In Tokyo, it was the home team, the Sunrisers, had a narrow defeat to the New South Wales Waratahs by 1 point, 31-30 they lost. In Christchurch, the nine-time Super Rugby champions, the Crusaders, they were too strong for their New Zealand rivals, the Hurricanes. They won 38 points to 22. And in Canberra, the Brumbies thrashed the Chiefs 54 points to 17. One live score underway in Super Rugby. It's at the Shark Tank in Durban, where the home team, the Sharks, are taking on the Blues from Auckland, and the home team leads 12 points to nil. There is an early kickoff also in the Pro 14. It's in Italy, where Benetton host Newport Gwent Dragons. Obviously, the Gwent Dragons' minds are focused on the big rugby match at Cardiff later this evening, because they're trailing 19 points to nil after 30 minutes. So that's where the Welsh minds are. They're firmly in Cardiff this afternoon. And of course, big matches later, Tom. 6:15 in Paris, we'll see France host Scotland. And then the big kickoff, really, I think, the match we're all looking forward to, 8:45 in Cardiff. Mm. It's Grand Slam aspirations will end for one of these two teams. It's Wales taking on England.
It's a little bit harsh, Archie. You know, we've got a game before that. Plenty running on that one. Plenty at stake over in Paris, where, of course, we have Scotland. It was a good night for Tom Oak at Ink Sports last night. West Ham got their 3 points. Gloucester go up to third in the Gallagher Premiership with a victory over the leaders of the Gallagher Premiership last night as well. So things went well. So I need to tap my Scottish heritage here as a true Scottish rugby supporter and liking what Greg is doing at the moment. I need to go, well, I need to find some sort of inspiration. So what do? I have to go back to 1995, Scotland in Paris.
Dungeon has to do again. Gavin Hastings has bust away, and he's going to score between the posts. An incredible try.
When we scored that try in the last seconds of the game against France in 1995, obviously it was important to us as a nation. We hadn't won there for 20 years. And the way we did it, obviously, was a great way to win a game.
It was a marvellous effort by Townsend, a little flick pass.
I can remember so much about that game. I can remember the movement and what the defence did, and that hear the voice calling for the ball from Gavin Hastings. So it's very vivid. Paris, for Scotland teams, we've not won there very often, but we've had some great days when we have won. And we have a huge opportunity this year to do something we've not done for a long while, 20 years since we last won there. But this team will definitely give it a real crack.
And given sort of the opportunities they have, certainly one of the best opportunities for quite some time, not just because of Scotland's attacking prowess in the tournament though far, just how bad France have been. It's Scotland against France in Paris.
The capacity stand of France pitch as well is pristine. This was a win of character.
Scotland obliterated by injuries over the last couple of weeks. France, just awful.
Yeah, France have been terrible, and you don't know who's going to show up with them. But Jacques
Brunel, the team do either, do they?
Well, Jacques Brunel has kind of made some big changes this week. He's dropped some of the older statesmen of the French team, and he's gone for youth, which may be a good move because they're not going to be burdened by terrible performances of the past. They'll just get on and play. But he's dropped their scrum half Morgan Parra, who is massively experienced, in the fly half Camille Lopez, and they seek their first win of this championship. So he's brought in a couple of youngsters, Antoine Dupont. And also the teenager Romain Intermac comes into the team. Intermac comes in at fly half. And Thomas Ramos also will make his first start for France. So Jacques Brunel under quite a lot of pressure to make some changes and try and get some results there.
Now, you mentioned the changes there. Are these players actually going to know what positions they're meant to be in? Because this has been the talk this week, which I just find absolutely remarkable. Like, players from France obviously wanting to remain anonymous, but calling it chaos, and some saying they don't even know what position they're meant to be playing in. It's astounding, isn't it, for this kind of level? And then obviously look back to the fixture against Wales, where Sebastian Vaamahino didn't know that he was the captain until the referee told him so. I mean, you mentioned about like Scotland's injury list at the moment, which is just unbelievable. That injury room couldn't get any fuller, could it? It's a bursting point. But this really is Scotland's best chance, surely, with the chaos, like I say, around France.
Yeah, but sometimes France are good when there's chaos and they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. There's no structure. They just turn up and play and they don't overcomplicate it because they have some talented individuals. They arguably play in one of the strongest leagues in Europe, if not the world, in the top 14. And they have some talent. It's just trying to get them all pulling in the right direction, which is a problem for Jacques Brunel. Now, Scotland, Gregor Townsend sort of has some different problems. He has changes forced upon him by injury issues. So he's brought in back row Magnus Bradbury. Fullback Blair Kinghorn comes into the starting team. Centre Nick Gregg and also fly half Peter Horn comes in due to the injury issues there. So that's going to be Gregor Townsend's challenge. And because France have been so terrible in the first two games, I actually give them a chance today because they owe a performance to their fans at home in Paris. And I think they might just get something out of this match against this injury-ravaged Scotland side.
I don't think it's a bad move because the youngsters came on at the end of the last game against England because they looked... Well, the starting 15 just looked clueless in that first half against England. Mm. Then they sort of rang a few changes late on because you might as well because they were so far behind. And they just had a bit more about them, as you were saying, playing that sort of laissez-faire attitude that we become known France for down the years. So it might be a bit of a gamble, but they need to do something. If not for this tournament, which I think is well gone, but certainly for World Cup and later on in this year.
I mean, it's late to be trying to jiggle around with your key players at scrum half and fly half. You know, these teams have got three or four matches now before the World Cup starts in sort of September, October. So it's tough. It's tough for them, for Jacques Brunel. He's under pressure. He's got he's got to deal with a club system that's very insular about how they spend their money and their owners, and it's a complicated situation. But he's gone with youth. Let's see what happens today. I think France might get a win against they're finally due to come right and might get their win today. But Scotland, Gregor Townsend's got different issues to deal with. They're injury focused. Let's have a quick listen to the Scottish coach.
Yeah, well, obviously the changes are injury enforced. So Ryan Wilson unfortunately picked up an injury just before half time in the Ireland game. But Magnus Bradbury came back from injury, played very well for Edinburgh at the weekend. So he moves in, blindside flanker. A standoff, Finn Russell, who had to play on Sunday, unfortunately, 6 days before our game against France, picked up a facial injury. Which also led to an HIA, so that ruled him out for the game. But Peter Horn, who's been covering 10 and 12 for us and who played well for Glasgow at the weekend, he's moved in to stand off. And the centre, Nick Gregg, replaces Hugh Jones, and Blair Kinghorn replaces Stuart Hogg, both players that picked up injuries in the Ireland game.
You mentioned Magnus. I'm sure somebody you've been keeping an eye on has transitioned back into rugby.
Yeah, well, obviously we were waiting until we saw him play a game. We'd heard lots of positive feedback from Edinburgh on how well he's trained. His physical condition was excellent, and that was shown in the game. I thought he started really well, made some big tackles. His kick chase was very good, got a number of carries too, and even more pleasing was the fact that he kept going in the second half. So it will be another step up for him this week to play France away, but we believe physically he's in the right place. Cohesion is such an important element of success at international level, and we're fortunate that Nick and Sam know each other really well, but also they played together for the last 3 or 4 years. I remember watching Nick and Sam play together for Stirling County. They played a lot at Glasgow, and for them to work alongside Pete Horn, who they know really well as centre partner, but also have played outside him at standoff, that will help with our preparations, but also help on Saturday with communication and knowing what another person is going to do in attack and defence.
And just finally, look at the opposition. They've made a number of changes as well this weekend. They'll be hurting. They'll be wanting to get going. Something we need to look out for at the weekend, yeah?
Absolutely. They're a dangerous team. Dangerous team before this tournament started, because their attacking ability and attacking ambition will produce line breaks. Already has. I think they had 8 line breaks against 3 in their game at Twickenham. Even though they lost that game heavily, 8 line breaks to 3 is a huge start in their favour. They've also got some very good players who are in really good form. Well, I think of the Toulouse team that's playing so well this year. Antoine Dupont, you've got Romain Intermac, Thomas Ramos, Hugues. They're big players in that Toulouse elevated style of rugby and performances this year. So we know that from an attacking point of view, they will be a real dangerous team. But also the emotion that they bring after a defeat and playing at home means that they'll be fired up in defence and they'll come at us at a set piece. So it's a great challenge. And rugby, playing France away in the Six Nations, is one of the best challenges you can have. And we're working very hard this week to be able to rise up to that challenge.
This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 Sports Special, live at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
Goal in the Premier League, Danny.
Yes,
Hodgson.
Absolutely. And it is Burnley 1, Tottenham Hotspur 0. Comes despite Spurs dominating proceedings so far in this second half. And it is that man again, Chris Wood, who has given Burnley the lead at Turf Moor. It's his 7th goal in his last 10 games. It came from a corner, which is very controversial because Spurs are absolutely certain it shouldn't have been a corner. Hendrick went sliding in with Vertonghen, and Mauricio Pochettino has been having a go and a half at the fourth official on the touchline, and insisting the ball came off the Burnley man last, but the decision didn't go their way and Wood rose at the highest 6 yards out, planted the header flush into the top left corner. The ball came down off the bar and over the line. Loris had absolutely no chance with it there as well, so Tottenham Hotspur will have to come from behind if they are to keep this title run alive here. Not to say that of course it would be over should they fail to do so here, but it's going to make things a hell of a lot tougher. They're looking to move to within 2 points of Manchester City at the top of the table, but Burnley have been in tremendous form the last few weeks. They're 7 games unbeaten, looking to extend that run to 8 games unbeaten there as well. They've defended well so far today, haven't had a lot of the ball, but they've taken their chance here. Like I say, Burnley 1, Tottenham Hotspur 0.
That's the latest from the Premier League. A lot more to look forward to throughout the afternoon as well, including the rugby. We're talking about Scotland against France. That's one's over in Paris. It's live down here from the Tennis Village, so get yourself down here to watch that one from 6:15, and then stick around. 8:45, is it, Arch?
8:45. Don't miss it. It'll be jam-packed down here. And that, of course, is taking place in Cardiff, where Wales will face England. Two teams bang in form. Warren Gatland's team, Wales, attempting to win a record 12th straight test match. England, of course, so very impressive in their opening 2 rounds with big wins, emphatic victories, bonus point victories, in fact, against Ireland and France. So two teams bang in form, going head-to-head. The winner, Tom, will probably go on to probably clinch the Six Nations title, albeit Ireland still have something to say about that because they've got to go to Wales and test them there. But England-Wales, lots of history in this match, lots of talk during the week, lots of mind games, lots of banter. No love lost, I think it's fair to say, between Wales and England when it comes to rugby. But plenty of chat between the teams. Let's just have a listen to a good friend from the show from many years ago, Jamie Roberts, talking about the importance of this match for the man in the street in Wales and also the English fans.
Nothing, I guess, whets the appetite more for Welsh players, Welsh coaches, the Welsh public than Wales against England. It's just there's such a... You grow up watching that match, you grow up kind of respecting those who have played in that match beforehand. You know, the great victories down the years, you kind of grow up admiring that and want to play a part in that. And it's the effect it has on the country is unbelievable. Kind of beating England, it's probably the most emotional I've seen supporters, actually. I mean, we played, it was a different game. It was the World Cup match, right, 2015. I remember after winning that, walking out past the Lions gates at Twickenham and probably seeing about five or six grown men in tears, kind of crying.
One of them was my dad.
One of them was Danny. I've never experienced that as a player. I've never kind of noticed that emotion in supporters. And I, you know, Wales England has the ability to bring out those emotions in the Welsh.
No love lost between Wales and England when it comes to rugby union. Now, plenty of mind games and chat between the coaches this week. Two very experienced Southern men from the Southern Hemisphere. Eddie Jones, of course, with England. Warren Gatland with Wales. And, well, Eddie Jones had to make a couple of selection changes. Back comes Jack Noel on the wing, and prop Ben Moon comes in for the injured Maku Vinipola. But Eddie Jones, well, he's talking up Wales, of course, and this is what he had to say about Warren Gatland and Wales going to this match.
It's probably one of the most traditional rugby games in the world. It's got a lot of history to it, not only just in terms of the game, but also the history of the two countries. So, yeah, we feel pretty honoured to be part of the game.
You said in the build-up to this, you think this could be the greatest Wales team ever. What makes you say that? Why do you think that's so?
Oh, I don't think I said that. I think I was echoing thoughts of other people who are much smarter than me. But they're on their longest run. Yeah, they got their greatest coach coaching his last game against England, so it's a big occasion for them.
Do you think that puts greater expectation on them?
Well, I think there's a massive expectation on them, and we just see how they handle it. You know, teams handle it differently. So we'll see on Saturday.
Do you think then that they're favourites, or they should be considered favourites as well?
Well, I'm not a bookmaker, so I wouldn't know.
But obviously that brings extra pressure.
Well, they are carrying the expectation of the whole country. You know, there's going to be 65,000 people there on Saturday. The whole country is behind them. They expect to win. You know, they've spoken about the fact that it's poles apart between England and Wales, that they're miles ahead of us. So, therefore, their expectation is to win, and we're going to go there and spoil the party.
And Warren Gatland's final Six Nations game against England, do you think that will motivate his players as well?
Oh, I'm sure they'll play hard for him, like they always have. You know, he's a great coach. He's got a great record in Six Nations, got a great record as a Lions coach. So his teams are always well prepared. They're always tough, and you know, we're going to have to be at our best to beat them, and that's what we're prepared for this week.
Do you enjoy locking horns with him, coming up against?
Yeah, because it's always a tough game. You know, sometimes you can beat his sides, but you never really beat them. They're always in the contest, so they're always difficult games.
And I know that we do talk about this every time England go to Cardiff, but the roof, the Principality Stadium roof, would you like it closed or open?
Well, for me, it's always open. It's a winter sport, rugby. And until it becomes a summer sport, then we should have roofs open.
Would that help in terms of the atmosphere for you, having the roof open?
Well, I don't think it really matters. But all I know is that rugby's a winter sport, and you play the game with the elements in mind. And if the elements are good, then it's good for both teams. The elements are bad, you work out how you're going to cope with it.
Have you spoken to Wales about the roof yet?
Not as far as I know.
Yeah, we'll get back to the rugby in just a few minutes' time, but news from the Premier League, another goal.
Yes, Burnley 1, Tottenham Hotspur 1. Spurs are back in it, and no surprise, it's down to the captain and talisman, Harry Kane. There was a little bit of controversy in this goal as well. There was controversy in Burnley's opener just a few moments ago. Well, Spurs have levelled that one as well, because Danny Rose stole quite a few yards with a quick throw-in on the left-hand side. He set Kane scampering free, got the beating of me, held off his man as he entered the box, drew heat in the keeper in, and slipped a very cute finish across the keeper into the bottom right corner. He is back after his injury. He is back, no doubt about it. So it's Sean Dyche's turn to lose the plot with the fourth official on the touchline, because, like I say, Danny Rose stole quite a few yards for that throw ball. It does tend to even itself out, considering Burnley's controversial goal earlier on when they got a corner they probably shouldn't have had done, when the ball seemed to come off Hendrick for a corner that Wood scored from there. But well, the only thing that matters at the moment is it's Burnley 1, Tottenham Hotspur 1, with 20 minutes to go at Turf Moor.
Right, we are. Mohamed Suleiman is out and about today. He's down at the Corporate Games Dubai. We can cross over live there now for another update from Mo.
from the Corporate Sports Championship Dubai 2019, the ultimate sports day experience. This is Dubai Eye 103.8, live on location.
Hey guys, I'm down here next to the basketball court. It is day two of the Corporate Sports Championship, and I'm joined by some very, very loud UAS staff. And I have with me the basketball MVP for the women. How has the tournament gone so far?
It was really hard, but it's fun. It's really fun, especially for women's basketball.
Yeah. How important is it for you guys to have a chance to meet your colleagues from work and have a good time with them outside of the office?
It's really good, and camaraderie, and because we're playing at different companies and different nationalities, and that's it.
You were talking about camaraderie. Why is that so important?
Yeah, it's good for us, camaraderie and sportsmanship and friendship among other companies.
Now, you guys are also watching your male colleagues play some basketball, correct?
Yes, give them support, of course.
Are they playing the finals right now?
Semi-finals.
Who are they playing against? Saudi German, right? Yeah. All right, let's have one more loud cheer from you guys. Fantastic. Back over to you guys.
From the Corporate Sports Championship Dubai 2019, the ultimate sports day experience. This is Dubai Eye 103.8, live on location. This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 sports special, live at the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.